peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. So how many of you envisioned when you were very young that you would be doing today what you are doing? Anybody? I had a surprising number in the first service that said, oh yeah, I'm doing what I always thought I would do. Anybody? No. Mary, who grew up in Nebraska, never knew she'd be running a software company. Did they know about that? They don't know about that yet. Anybody else? Anybody doing what you love? Who is doing something they never ever thought that they would ever do? Fantastic. Are you having fun? Excellent. Good. Me too. I always thought I would be a firefighter, and then at about age 11, I felt this calling, which was awfully young to feel that. Probably it was just hero worship. I had a really cool pastor, and I thought, yeah, I want to be like that. But then it's interesting. It's never quite what you think. That day when Jesus was with his disciples, or walking along the Sea of Galilee and calling his disciples, I am fairly certain that none of them woke up that morning and thought, I bet by the end of the day, I'm going to be a preacher, or a healer, or a teacher. Jesus came by, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And Peter and Simon and James and John followed. Their calling changed, and they never expected it. Calls do change in all kinds of surprising ways. I certainly have experienced it in my own ministry, and recently in kind of an odd way. Each year, as a pastor, I am required to fill out the Evangelical Lutheran Church report for a pastor ordained clergy under call. And each year, I very carefully fill that thing out. And so I got this email the other day. Dear Pastor Jeff, I noticed that on your 2015 and 2016 roster reports, you listed your ordination date as 2/14/1990. Our database has it listed as 2/17/1990. I did a little research and saw that all of your other reports dating back to 1990 listed your ordination date as 2/17/1990. I just wanted to make you aware of this discrepancy. Of course, Pastor Terry is willing to come into Hawaii for a reordination if you would like to have your ordination date changed. Somehow my call shifted without even knowing. And oh, how that happens for us. For those disciples who had a clear and sort of present vision of what their life would be like as fishermen, each and every day putting food on the table for their family and for their village, when Jesus comes, everything changes. Suddenly, they leave their nets and their boat, and they follow Jesus. And we know, as we go down the line, that somehow that fishing thing, though, stayed close to their hearts. Do you remember what happens at the end of the gospel when they kill Jesus and they go back to the room and they say, what shall we do? Do you remember what the disciples said? I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go back to what I know. Their job changes. Their occupation shifts. But it is their vocation and our vocation that maybe is more relevant and is the greatest shift of all. Jesus calls his disciples and us to something new. A light that is shining, it says, from our gospel, or from our reading and from Isaiah. A new harvest a new yoke. These are the things that God brings to us in Jesus Christ in that calling to be Christian people, God's people in the world. So when someone asks you, "So, Randy, what do you do?" What do you say?
"I'm involved in travel."
"I'm involved in travel." That was a careful answer. Could mean anything. It could mean I travel. Could mean I arrange travel for others. Could mean that he's got a mistress named Travel with whom he's involved.
Two of the three are correct.
Two of the three are correct. I know your wife. Yeah. When people ask you, Steve, what do you do? What do you say? That someone said that this morning. When I asked someone if they were doing what they had always wanted to do, they said yes. And I said, "Well, what is that?" And they said, "I'm retired." Well, Steve's a pastor. So often what we do is we say, "Well, I'm a pastor." And then you have to explain exactly what that means. So someone this morning reflected on the fact I am, when you ask, people ask you, "Are you, what is your religion?" What do you say? Lutheran, okay. Now here's a question. Do you say, "I'm a Lutheran," or do you say, "I'm Lutheran"? I'm Lutheran. Or do you say, "I'm a Christian," or do you say, "I'm Christian"?
"I'm involved in Lutheranism."
And that in itself is scary. I'm going to so use that. I'm involved in the ministry. That is awesome. Well, you see, this has to do with who our being or our vocation is. You can say, "I'm a woodworker," or "I'm a firefighter," which describes what you do. But what Jesus is out in this particular text is more a text about who we are as human beings. What Jesus struggles to teach his disciples is that they are not just healers and teachers and preachers, but they are first and foremost, as every one of us must be, they are beloved of God, children of God, who have been set free in the most beautiful kind of love, having been received by a God who affirms and cares for them, and who calls us God's own. I wonder if that's not our true calling. To be first, foremost, and always the children of God. Our calling may change, our job may change, our occupation may change. The way that we see the world politically or spiritually may change, but what remains is God's promise of Emmanuel to be with us. And it is from that core call that we have the freedom to live our lives for the sake of others. To march when we must march. To share when we must share. To get involved in politics or passion, or to stand for the poor when it is time to stand for the poor, to feed the hungry, to do all of the things that becomes the work of our ministry, it all flows from our being as God's called children. Perhaps we emphasize our identity in the church too much by what we do, and not enough by who we are. Our being is rooted in this Jesus who calls us from our fishing boats and our vocations and avocations and makes us God's own. For truly the message about the cross is foolishness. But it is the foolishness that God has lifted upon our shoulders and driven deep into our hearts. Come and follow, Jesus says to the disciples. Come and follow is what Jesus says to you and to me, who are his disciples in this day. Amen.